Blog Talk Radio.
This time will be the last time you do this to me. This time I love you will not work. I'm sure love does not hurt like this, and he always says he will never do it again. Well, that is always short-lived. I gather myself and I try to talk myself out of a few things. But one thing I have to admit is that this mirror does not lie. A black eye this time. Last time a bruised rib cage. I picked up my makeup bag and tried to conceal the day's damage. I am not even sure what I even said. Did I offend him in some way by using the wrong word choice? Like I said, I can't even remember what I said. Good evening and welcome to the Friday Nightcap with Imajave, Taylor Dane, and Thomas. I am Imaj. I am your host for this evening, as well as I'm waiting for my other host to kind of join me as well. Tonight we will be discussing domestic violence and how it is affecting our community. This topic is very serious and very near and dear to my heart because I had a friend who lost her life due to domestic violence, and ever since it's just been something that has really just hurt my heart every time I hear that. What is going on in this year's studio? Okay, No.
Up on that trip, laying on the floor, I'ma need ya to do a little more, yeah.
Okay, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know if you all heard what I said from the beginning, but I think the devil tried to take what we were trying to do tonight, but that's okay. We're still going to do what we came here to do. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I am good. I don't know what this machinery is doing over here. But we're having a serious conversation about domestic violence and how it is affecting us and our community and the people that who are around us. Let me get Thomas in here as well. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. Also, I don't know what was going on. I'm not sure if anybody even heard the little piece that I shared at the beginning of the show. Let's see. I don't know. So if you didn't hear it, I'll repeat it later. The reason why we kind of decided that to have this show is because I've been kind of dealing with some things lately. And in the course of the last 2 to 3 months, it has really upped the violence, being that, you know, someone that I went to college with has now lost their life because of domestic violence. And 3 or 4 years ago, I lost someone who was near and dear to my heart again, who also lost their life to domestic violence. So now I have 2 blows in my life because of this, and it tears me up on the inside. So that's why we decided to kind of just bring something serious to the plate. Yes, we do talk about other things as well, but there are things that do affect us. And so to kind of just let you all know my background behind it with my friend who lost her life a few years ago, we worked together. She was so bubbly, so awesome, so everything. Like,
anybody who knows me for real in real life knows that I love the news. Like, I up and down will watch the news before I watch anything else on television. And I always like funny news, like news that doesn't make sense. Like, why are you doing this type of news? And every morning when I would come to work, she would say, Jay Reed, what you got for me today? What news have you heard that is just ridiculously dumb and that you have to share? And that was my way of waking up in the morning because I knew she wanted to laugh and I needed to laugh to start our day. It's 8 o'clock. We got to talk to crazy people all day. So, you know, that was the one thing that really every day I look forward to. And it was Memorial Day weekend, and I remember saying to her on Friday afternoon, hey, I can't wait to see you on Tuesday. I'll be back. I'll see you. Enjoy your weekend. And she was like, girl, I'm going to enjoy my weekend. I was like, okay. So we both went our separate ways that day to our weekends to enjoy. We had a three-day weekend. And so that particular weekend, I headed down to Charlotte. She headed to do things with her son and her friend. On that Sunday, my mom got sick. So I was doing about 85 on 85. Anybody knows that that is not the speed limit on Highway 85 in North Carolina? It is anywhere between 65 to 70. I was doing 85 because I needed to get back to Greensboro quick. Okay? So while I'm on the highway, one of my friends calls and says, hey, what are you doing? And I said, yeah, I'm driving, trying to get back to the city because my mom's sick. Well, they're like, listen, I need you to pull over. I'm like, I can't pull over. I got to keep going. I can't pull over. They're like, no, Jamie. And most people don't really use my real name. They say, Jamie, hey, listen, I need you to pull over because I need to tell you something. And so at that point, I pull over on 85, and he's talking to me. He was like, you know, Beth passed away this morning. I said, what? That's not right. And she didn't. Shut up. Stop telling lies. And so he's saying, yes, she did. She was killed this morning. And I was like, okay, I can't talk to you right now. I can't receive this piece of news right now. And so I was like, I'll talk to you later. I hung up the phone, and I got back on the highway. And when I got back on the highway, my mind kept saying, this is not true. This is not true. This is not true. It did not hit me until I sat down in my house on my couch, and I turned on the news. And my friend's name flashed across that screen. At that point, news to me became irrelevant. I didn't care about the news anymore. My heart was broken because my friend was taken away from me because of some man who did not want her to be with anybody else. He chose to take her away from the people who mean the most to her, to mean the most, in front of her son. So From that day, it affected me, and I've been an advocate to stopping the violence, period. No one should ever have to feel that piece of pain. No one should ever be hit because somebody else just feels like they need to hit. And that even goes for men, because men sometimes have to deal with it as well, because there are some women who think that they can put their hands on men. And that's not right. And so I know I'm talking a lot, and I'm saying a lot of things. So, guys, if you all want to chime in and talk about this with me, because I need a second.
I was listening. I absolutely agree 100%. No one deserves to be hit, period, man or woman. I think that a lot of times women, they hide behind that, you not going to hit me. And you don't put your hands on a man. a man does not put his hands on a woman. That's just something you don't do. Like, my mom told me to keep my hands to myself. I keep my hands to myself.
Right.
I don't, it's time to see you agree or disagree or you have something to say.
Everybody already said everything. It's more so of, you know, defend yourself by all means, but don't willingly just go out and try to harm someone, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there's more ways to abuse someone than just physically harming them.
This is also true.
That's one of those things that doesn't get, you know, talked about a lot as much as, you know, physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those
right.
things that happens on a regular basis, even if nobody ever says it. We do it, but we don't realize what's going on, you know, at that point in time. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it harms people. You know, physical abuse hurts, but that mental abuse, emotional abuse, so cut so much
yeah.
more deeper
than
any physical pain. And
yeah.
that can never be caused. You know,
yeah,
and that comes from everything from being a child, you know, whether your parents were abusing you or friends or whatever. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
fail to realize that because it comes from more than just family members. It comes from friends, strangers, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And point blank period, abuse is abuse. And you're absolutely right. No matter where it comes from, abuse is abuse, whether it's
mm-hmm.
mental, physical, you know, because people always kill me to say, words don't hurt. I'm sorry. You can't tell me words don't hurt because the things that people say, and this is another reason why I learned how to control my tongue, because I know that my words that I use can really cut somebody and hurt somebody without me physically touching them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me words don't hurt. What, you know, you've called that woman ugly and nobody else is going to want you. That hurts her self-esteem. That's something that is a bruise that we can't see that stays there. And it creates this cycle of continuance. Like, if you see your father hit your mother and you're a boy, you're thinking, that's okay. It's not okay. On any level, is it not okay? And that's what I was talking about, where who does it affect? It affects every single person in that household, in your life, because of it. And I'm getting lost for words, okay, because I don't normally don't do that. But it is just so much to handle, just like, you know, with the young lady who's a college kid. The man who killed her was her most recent boyfriend. Come to find out that he has charges pending him because he did this to another woman as well. He may not have killed her, but there's charges. This is where, as women, and even men, we need to Google these people and we need to see police reports. I'm good for it. And I have two friends who are really close to me who work for the police department. So I have no problem calling them up and saying, hey, listen, who is this person? Do you have some records on there? Because I need to know. I'm not thinking about your credit. I'm thinking about my child and my well-being. Because at the end of the day, I got to protect us. And if I find out that you are any type of pedophile, or you got some type of domestic violence charges against you, brother, peace. Me and you, we have no conversation at all. You've got to go. And I just don't know. And then that's just for women in general. Like, we need to really just kind of sit down and figure out who these men are and what's going on and what triggers so much of the stuff. Like, we don't know what's going on with people when they do things like this. Like, I don't know. And then for some people to be like...
I kind of want to chime in on that. Like, I don't, not just women, but everybody as a whole. Because there are some women who, you know, who are abusive, whether it be, you know, physical or verbal. You know, because mm-hmm. of, like, especially in the Black community, you know, where abuse is very, very heavy, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it be physical or verbal or mental. Because a lot of the times, oh, you ain't shit, is the normal thing that comes out of some Black woman's mouth. Oh, you just a hoe, or you this, or you that. Whatever derogatory name that may come out, you know, we need to sit down as a whole, not just Black people, not just white people, but everybody as a whole, and
mm-hmm.
find out some of the determining factors on the thing of abuse. Because, you know, regardless of whether you're a man or female, abuse has no color, no prejudice, no nothing.
Right. Yeah. I actually saw this video on Facebook a while back. It was two teenagers. They were in the classroom. And this girl was just going off on this guy. And the entire time she's talking to him, he's like, get out of my face. Get your hand out of my face. She's, like, hitting him, everything else. This is a classroom full of students. Of course, these are Black students. And the teacher is nowhere in sight in this video. However, this girl, I mean, the video, I think it might be, like, 5-10 minutes, if that. It might be shorter. I can't remember. But she was just in his face the entire time. And he's like, you need to get out of my face, leave me alone, whatever. And that goes back to what Thomas is saying, because there are women that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, like she, I mean, she literally was in his face. Like, if she was any closer to him, they might have been making out. Like, yelling and screaming, cussing at him, everything, putting her hands in his face and everything, and he's just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And there are women that do that. And then the issue is that they don't understand. They don't get it. You don't get that you're not supposed to do that, because nobody taught you that you're not supposed to do that. Because somewhere, she just didn't know that you're not supposed to do that to people. I think it stems back from not necessarily, it's not always a mental case. It's not always a mental health issue. Sometimes it's just that they don't know any better, or that's just what they see, so that's what they learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, this video made me so upset, because I'm like, she's literally in his face the entire time. And then, like, he gets up and he walks away from her. She follows him. She threw a desk at him.
No, I was like, I know I saw that particular video. I was like, she hit him at some point during that video.
Yes.
She sure did.
Yeah, she
hit him a couple times before he even before he even, you know, really did anything to her.
And the only thing that he did, and the only thing he could do was just, I think he, I'm almost certain, like, either he pushed her or he mushed her out his face.
He mushed her.
But I'm like, it shouldn't even, number one, it shouldn't have went that far. Number two, I'm almost 100% certain it was behind some BS. Because, I mean, they're teenagers, but really, in a whole, an entire classroom, and there's no teacher to be found. Like, this is, I mean, come on. As
right.
a, like, as a female, like, we're emotional. We get upset. We say things. We get upset. That's just we're emotional. That's just how we are. But at some point, you need to understand that once you cross that line, it's no going back. Like, that line, like, she stepped over that line, and then she stepped over 15 more after that. Like, enough is enough. Like, we can't, right. We can't continue to just act however and think that, you know, it's okay. Now, I don't condone domestic abuse at all, in the least bit, but I do think that you have the right to defend yourself. In that situation, he had the right to defend himself, because at this point, she's attacking him. Not only is she physically attacking him, she's verbally attacking him. And it happens all the time. And women do that all the time, not just black women, all women, because I see it quite frequently. Matter of fact, I just saw it. I took my kids out, like, earlier this week. This woman was in the middle of the street arguing with her boyfriend and, you know, going back and forth. Like, she's throwing things at him in the street. She's putting all their business out in the street. They're in the middle of the street, blocking traffic. Blocking traffic four different ways. And she's, like, throwing things at him, like she's trying to hit him and everything else. And I'm like, we can't continue to do this because, and Lord and behold, her children are right on the curb standing there looking. So now that's what they see, and it's going to continue. It has to stop. It has to. I can't even think how many domestic cases I've seen on the news, read about on Facebook this month already. It's something has to be done. It has to be done because these children are they're getting exposed to this. So now this is what they know. So this is what they think it should be. And that's not the case. It's not the case at all. That's all I wanted to say.
Right. You're right. I've never experienced this until, like I said, that year. I never experienced anything. You know, if I did, it wasn't to my eye. Like, I didn't see it. And once it's pushed in your face, it's like there's nothing you would do to stop it. Like, just like with the situation where you see the woman that's sitting in the middle of the street, I'm woken up out of my sleep because my neighbors that are behind me want to bring their conversation outside, and she's telling him, you ain't this, and you ain't that, and he's saying, be this, and be that, and they're just going in on each other. And then, for whatever reason, she throws the keys. It's pitch black outside. It's 1 a.m. She has now thrown this man's keys, preventing him to be able to leave, because this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to leave, and she's still talking, you know, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but sometimes we need to know when enough is enough. If somebody is trying to walk away from something and we are still egging them on and still yapping and saying this, that, and the third, at some point we got to stop ourselves, because both of us being angry is not fixing whatever the situation is. Here's somebody who's trying to walk away and you want to throw the keys. Now this man's keys are in the ravine behind the apartment building. He can't find his keys. He can't leave. So now I see him walking up the street because he's really trying his best to get away from this woman. I'd much rather you walk away from a situation than turn around and hit someone. Because sometimes walking away is always going to be the best thing. If I feel myself getting so angry and I feel like I want to hit some, I have to walk away. I have to walk away because I know me. And it's 0 to 60
turns into 0 to 100 real quick. So I can't see myself doing that. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go out. I need fresh air. And I don't understand what takes someone to that point of not walking away, not saying, okay, I'm getting upset. I need to walk away. I don't need to put my hands around nobody's throat to make them be quiet. I don't need to backhand somebody to make them be quiet. I don't have to do that. I can just walk away. And then if we're not together after that, then we are fine. Because for whatever reason, our relationship is explosive. And we don't need to explode. We need to walk away and just leave each other alone. And then you have some people like, well, you can't have, if I can't have you, nobody else can. That's the most selfish thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life. Because you, person, are not a part of the season anymore. You have now passed. I don't want you nor need you anymore in my life. It's time for you to go fix whatever the issue you have and be with somebody else, because you and I, we can't work at this point. And I hate that sometimes some women say, well, I didn't know I could go and talk to somebody. Yes, you can. You can go and talk to anybody, whether it's a friend, your pastor. If you don't want them to know, there's always somebody you can call that's anonymous. You do not have to feel like nobody is out here listening, because there is. And for me, it was like, what is going on beforehand? Like, on those mornings when she said that she needed a laugh, what was her morning like before she got to me? Those are the thoughts that trigger for me. Like, I feel like somewhere in there, I missed the signal. And I felt like somewhere in there, that was also my fault. If I didn't see it with my eyes, then there could have been something I could have said. There could have been something that I could have did. But I was just more worried about, okay, she needed a smile this morning. I'm going to give it to her because she asked me for it. And I know I'm probably not the only person who has those thoughts, because, you know, like I said, it affected a lot of us. We worked together for 10 years. That's 10 years of a friendship that she knew when I had my kids, you know, like, that's how it was. Like, she remembers when I was like, oh, girl, I'm pregnant. Yeah. And I remember when she was like, girl, I'm having a boy. You know, it's just a lot. I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Let it all out. Just go ahead. Let it out.
I feel like I've been holding the air for so long, and every time something happens, y'all, I cry. Like, when, I don't know if you all saw it, Bianca Fanner, she was local, so therefore, you know, she was somewhere that it affected me. So when they said she went missing, I was like, oh, gosh, please just somebody please just find her, you know, and please find her. And then it's coming out that, oh, the boyfriend is not cooperating. The boyfriend's missing. I was like, oh, gosh, please. Somebody just hurry up and find her. But then when her baby said, now her son is 3 years old, he tells the police, he hurt mommy. He whooped mommy with a belt. You mean to tell me this man did this in front of this baby? That is a child. That is a baby. That 3-year-old understands that at this point now, if you somebody picks up a belt, you feel like you're in trouble because of it. So he understands whooping. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said he picks up a belt and hit mommy with it. He hit mommy in the face. Mommy was crying. So I know you all are hearing the frustration in my voice because I'm pissed that somebody did this in front of this child. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to take flight and I'm going to keep pushing. No, they found you. And they brought you a little butt back to North Carolina.
and you sit in jail today. So therefore, you're about to receive the consequences and repercussions of what you did, because you, sir, don't deserve to be among the free at this point. So, and that's even with my friend's son. Like, that's exactly what the situation was. And it's like, he told the police that my daddy cut my mommy. Broad daylight on the side of the road. And people, this is what you know, where people are either genuinely good people and they care, or if they don't. The side of the street on a busy highway, and only a few people stopped to help. A handful of people stopped to help. And to think that you see this and you don't want to stop. I'm sorry. I may be 5'1", and somebody might be able to talk me around, but if I see some stuff, I'm sorry, I'm stopping, because it's not going to let me keep moving. It's not going to let me do it. God is not going to let me do it, and he's going to say, I know you are my son, and you know the right thing to do. You are to protect, and you are not to allow people to go through this. So, yes, I probably would have been one of those people that day to stop on the side of the street and try to figure out what's going on. You, sir, you need to stop this. And he cut her. And, like, he cut her so bad. Knew what he was going to be doing that day. He knew that he was going to slash her face and cut her throat. It's like he knew. Because who just carries razors around in their pocket? Razors, not no knife, not a pen or something, a razor, a straight blade thing. Who just walks around with those in their pocket? And then to say, oh, she'll be all right. I tell you, my blood boils at that type of stuff. Want to make me mad? Say some dumb stuff. Do some dumb stuff that's going to do that. So that gets me upset. Yeah, you may say some jokingly stuff that may get me a little bit riled up, but that pisses me off. That makes me mad. That makes me want to go out and continue this fight. That's what, and to push to say, you know, stop the violence. Stop the domestic violence against men and women, children, anyone. There's no need for you to put your hands or put your weapons on anybody. Point blank, period. You're grown. Don't even use your words. Walk your tail away. Walk away. Because it's not worth it. But that moment that you are so upset is now, it can create a lifetime. It's either going to mean you a life, the rest of your life behind bars and risking your freedom, or you spending your last days here, and we be at your funeral. That's what it boils down to for me, just a life. And, yeah, I needed this moment. And, yeah, I'm sorry. Hello.
You got more to say. Keep on talking.
No.
I'm fine. Keep talking.
Why do I need to say?
Because you have a lot to say.
I kind of been holding it in for years.
No, that's why you need to speak.
Because I, you know, and that's why I say I don't know if you all heard the piece that I shared before getting on the phone line. But I guess I could share it with you guys. because it took a lot for me to write it. Because I remember, it's so funny how certain things trigger memories. I remember I was sitting at home, I was like, oh my gosh, her birthday is coming up. Oh my gosh, her birthday is coming up. And I was on my Facebook, and I was like, I've got something in my heart that I just can't get out. And my friend Casey, who at the time she lived in Atlanta, she's back here in North Carolina now, and one of my poet friends, Lamar, was like, just go ahead and start writing it. And I was like, girl, I don't know what to do. Like, I just don't know how to explain the situation. And they're like, just take your time with it. And it took me about a month to get what I had to say out on paper and written. And I cried, I got mad, I got sad. I felt every emotion that I was supposed to feel writing this piece. And so I think it's one of the ones where I will probably cherish it for the rest of my life. But I'm not sure if y'all want to hear it. Maybe so.
Go ahead.
So just so that you all know, we're not going to do the full 2 hours tonight. We're just going to go at 12 o'clock. Okay? Because I do have an early morning tomorrow, since I am in South Carolina, working as well.
That's fine.
It's emotional. And while I'm looking for it, Taylor, happy birthday to your mommy. She is awesome because she brought us you, and she is having a party today. Okay? So I just want to let you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
She's hanging out with some good people. So let's see.
I have to pull it up. I had closed it out, so I apologize.
Okay, so the piece is called Misused and Abused.
Okay.
This time will be the last time he does this to me. This time, I love you will not work. And I am sure that love does not hurt like this. He always says, I will never do it again. Well, that is always short-lived. I gather myself and I try to talk myself out of a few things. But one thing I have to admit is that my mirror doesn't tell lies. A black eye this time. The last time it was a bruised rib cage. I pick up my makeup bag and I try to conceal today's damage. And I'm not sure what I even did this time. Did I offend him in some way by using the wrong choice of words? Like I said, I can't even remember what I said. And gathering my thoughts, I'm sitting here thinking about my life. My life didn't used to be like this. The bubbly person that I once was has somehow faded with time. The ambition that everyone saw in my eyes seemed to be distant. I once wanted to be a dancer. I had danced all of my life, and I was even accepted to a school of art. Supposed to be critics said I had promise and that I could make it far in this industry. With that, I pushed harder. Dancing is what I ate. Dancing is what I breathe. All I saw was my future. And my future was in dancing on that stage behind my favorite artist on the world tour. And dancing was going to allow me to see the world past the city limits. I was leaving, and looking back was not an option. Life was amazing, but I felt that something was missing. Cloud 9 can also get a little lonely from time to time. So when I decided to return home to visit, meeting him seemed okay. I still wanted to have a relationship. I still, at this point in my life, hadn't experienced that love of the other dancers would talk about. Calling home, talking for hours to their love coming up for performances. Love seemed to be a wonderful thing, and I could possibly experience it with him. The way he touched me, the way he saw through me, he was the only person who got to know the real me, the inside and out. So it was easy to fall in love, especially when he understands me. He supported me. He moved closer to be with me. He was sacrificing for me. Love makes sacrifices, right? The time was a push into the wall because I asked, what have you been doing all day? See, he couldn't find work, and so dancing and being on tour paid the bill. He had sacrificed on my craft, love. The second time, he threw a plate at me and missed me by an inch, all because the food got cold. See, I was talking to my agent on the phone because he had a new booking. I forgot I made his plate and didn't tell him it was ready. Then I lost count. It just seemed like every day it was something new. It was like he would try to be careful. Never my face, never my legs, never my arms. Nothing ever visible to the naked eye. At an early age, I learned how to bandage my wounds. Dancing caused twisted ankles, swollen toes, and bruises in places that you never knew that you would get bruised because of falling. So going to the hospital wasn't needed. Covering a black eye would be easy. Time passed since his last episode. The beatings have stopped, but the mental abuse is still there. He's found work, great work, and he manages the bills. But all of a sudden, dancing is not good enough. Why can't you find a normal job in normal hours? And aren't you getting a little too old for chasing this dream? You're starting to look your age. Never too old to chase my dream, because it's just that, it's mine. The one thing that keeps me pieced together. He wanted me to stay home. This is not what I wanted. When I didn't quit and do what he wanted, he shattered my ankle in three places when he pushed me to the ground. My dream shattered. So I am now forced to stay at home, and again, this is not what I wanted. I have to get away. I have to get out of here. I can't stay here, move forward with my life, but I have nowhere to go. I have gained some strength from in my belly. I had to make a plan, leave in the middle of the night, once again, no looking back. Unknown to him, I had packed everything that I needed and left. Nowhere to go, no one to call. I was so ashamed of things that I had allowed myself to go through. How can I explain this? How can I face anyone? I've already stopped talking to my friends. I just figured no one would understand. I have this little house. I feel so much safe here, and sometimes I feel like I'm being watched. I keep a routine. Every day, a different road is traveled. I know he has tried to find me. I know he has. And the fact that I still live in fear of him finding me probably will never go away. I can't date. I can't love. I can't do anything. Now I can't breathe. There's a sharp pain piercing my side, and I try to scream, but there's no sound. Help. Scream, I fight. Help. Protect my baby. Protect my child. Please. Still hurt my baby. Then nothing. No sound. Just silence. No more air. No more hear. I'm sitting in this little room,
quietly, waiting. Then a voice comes out of nowhere. I recognize it. My child, you can't hurt here. You should never suffer again. And the pain of life has stopped. You shall have everlasting life by my side. Let your heart be at peace. But what about my baby? She is here with me and is waiting to see you. Let your heart be at peace so you can rest in heaven with me. So that was the end of that. Pretty much it just really told a story of how things could be if we don't stop and get help and talk to people. That's when we feel like nobody else understands. Nobody does.
That was amazing, Amash. That was really good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know the topic is, but that was amazing. And I agree. People, there's always someone to listen. There's always someone to talk to. Even if you feel ashamed to go to your family, there's still places. There's still someone listening.
I know that now. I feel like, and that's why I'm always, like, I know I always tell my friends, you can call me anytime. I don't care what time it is. If there is a distress call that goes out, y'all may think that I probably don't answer my phone late at night. If any of my friends call my phone in the middle of the night, I'm picking up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking up like I've been up for hours. Why are you calling me at this time of night?
Mm-hmm.
And you know I'm good for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why are you calling? What's wrong? I even remember one time one of my freshie calls me was like, I just need to come stay at your house. What's wrong? What happened? And at this point, she's finding like, her current, the boyfriend that she had at the time, you know, he was harassing her. And because she was trying to break up with me, kept harassing her. And it's always to have that one friend that no one knows where to stay. And I'm usually that friend because, you know, I really don't like a whole bunch of people in my house. So all my friends know where I stay, but their mates may not know where I stay. So I'm always that friend. I'm coming to stay at your house because I got to get away and I don't need nobody else to know where I'm at. And plus I live too far away for people to keep trying to come to my house. I always pick a distant place on the other side of town if I, you know, live somewhere else differently than where I am now. I always pick somewhere else that. It's going to take you forever to get there. You're going to feel like you're traveling to Kansas. And you're going to stop by the time you get there. You're going to be like, I'm not going out here. It's dark. It ain't no civilization. Ain't nothing else around here. So I'm that friend for my friends. Like, nobody knows where I stay.
I'm the same way. I tell people all the time, if you have my phone number, use it. I always, like anybody that's friends with me on Facebook know I'm always on Messenger. I'm always on Twitter. Like anytime my phone rings, I hear it. And if I can't get to it when you call, I will definitely call you right back. If you shoot me a text like, hey, I need to talk, like I'm always up. I'm always available. And I tell people that, like, people that have my phone number have it for a reason. If you need me, call me. And then everyone always says, well, you have the kids, and I don't want to trouble you. No, it's no trouble. It's no trouble. I'd rather you come to me and I can direct you where you need to go or to help you make the move that you need to make as opposed to you not saying anything.
Right.
because then there's, you run the risk of, you know, getting yourself into even more trouble, or, you know, things could get way out of hand. Like, there was a situation not too long ago, a friend of mine, she, I hadn't spoken to her for like a couple of days, and it's rare that there's only a handful of people that I speak to on a daily basis. So I know that if I don't speak to you, there's an issue. And I'm calling her. She's not answering her phone. Now, everyone knows that I am team crazy, like full-blown team crazy. So I'm calling you, and I'm not getting any type of answer from you. You're not answering my text. I'm going to go to your house. I'm just going to go to your house. So I go to her house, and she's there, but it's like it's really dark and gloomy in there, and her boyfriend is there, and I'm like, what is going on around here? I'm like, why haven't you been answering my calls? She's like, oh, I don't have my phone. I don't know where it is. I lost it. I said, well, okay, well, you know, do you have the cash to get a new one? Oh, I have to ask him. We gonna figure this out right now. We not about to do that. No, I gotta talk to him. We not about to do that. And me and her, we went to the store, and I talked to the guy. I'm like, is there any way she can get, like, a free phone, even if she's got to get, you know, she's got to downgrade all the way to a flip one for right now? Is there anything we could do, whatever the case may be? And, you know, he worked it out for us. But then she was like, well, now that I'm out, you know, I want to go to the store. Like, she spent all day trying to get me to do 101 different things. And I'm like, why is it that she doesn't want to go back home? And then that's when I put two and two together. Oh, okay, I see what this is. She's not happy. Whatever's going on, whatever's, like, making her not answer the phone, or whatever happened with her phone has to do with him. And then sure enough, we get back to the house, and he's all like, where you been at? Like, yelling and screaming at her. I don't do that. No, we're not going to do this. What you're going to do is you're going to come to my house, and then we're going to figure it out. And that's what wound up happening. Like, she wound up coming to my house, and then I figured out a way to get her away from him. She's now in another state, and she's doing good as far as I know. As far as I know, I spoke to her. Today is Friday. I spoke to her on Tuesday. She's doing good. So, I mean, there's always a way. There's always someone. Even if it's not the direct person that you would normally call, please reach out to them, because there's someone that they could reach out to. I always tell people, if I can't fix it for you, I'm going to try and find someone who can fix it for you. If they can't fix it for you, at least we can try to come up with a way to fix it. But you just have to reach out to someone. Please don't think that no one is listening, or no one cares, or no one is concerned. There's always someone. Always.
I agree wholeheartedly. Always. I'm waiting for a caller to come in, because she wanted to say something. So I'm kind of waiting for her to kind of raise her hand. I just don't want to throw it out there in the water without getting her permission to first. But I want to say to you all, I thank you all for allowing me to kind of get this thing off my chest. And I appreciate you both from the bottom of my little old heart, because we are given opportunities to have a forum and to be able to talk about different things. Normally we talk about other stuff on Friday night, but you know, sometimes we do have to show that we are serious people, and things do affect us, and we do have
Why is Ursula being driven? Yeah, no, I can't do two things at one time, right? Okay. So, yeah, I just want to say I appreciate y'all. I really do, because my computer is tripping at this point.
I definitely think that this was something that needed to be talked about, because I don't know what's going on, but it's just been one thing after another lately. And I actually followed the story with your friend from college that happened recently, because anyone that's friends with me on Facebook knows that all of my friends on Facebook are in North Carolina. So this was, it's true. Like, every single one of my friends are from North Carolina, with the exception of Thomas and I think Crystal and maybe Shamor and, like, two other people. Everybody else is from North Carolina. So this was my entire, feed for days. So I actually, you know, I followed the story myself, and I was just like, you know, maybe she, like, when I first read it, I so wanted her to just be like, okay, well, I went away for a couple of days because I'm a mom and I needed it, and that's it, when I first saw it. And then as it went on and it got bigger and bigger, I'm like, this, no, I don't want this to happen. No, I'm not ready. Please don't. You know, and it's something that's been going on. It's an ongoing issue, but it's just been pushed to the forefront lately, and it's already out of hand, but now it's just completely out of hand. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Right. And our caller has raised her hand, so I'm going to get her in on the conversation. Area code 510.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the Friday Nightcap. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, I was just listening to what the sister just before me was talking about, how she took her friend to a cell phone store and was trying to get her a cell phone. I know you guys are not here where I am in California, but just in case there is anybody listening in California, California has a state law under the Domestic Violence Act that the district attorney's office will provide any survivor or victim with a free cell phone if they just go in. They don't have to worry about trying to report the batterer and ID him and all of that. The district attorney will deal with all of that other part. It's all about your safety. And the phones are sponsored through Verizon. And there is an organization that you can contact. I sit on the board for Progressive Transition, and they're in Oakland, California. We serve the entire Alameda County. And the number to Progressive Transitions is 510-479-4383. You can call that number and you can get an immediate referral to a caseworker that will connect you with the Family Justice Center. If you're in California, I'm sorry, I don't know any resources outside of California, but if there's just anybody listening from California or even more directly in the San Francisco Bay Area that needs an emergency cell phone, it's not a fancy phone, it's not a smartphone, but it's a phone that gives you direct dial to the beyond the 911, because, you know, if you call 911 from, at least out here in California, if you call 911 from a cell phone, you're going to get the highway patrol. So these phones are routed to your nearest police station and to their domestic violence hotline numbers. So you're not going to get put on hold as if you were calling to put in a police report.
Wow.
That is awesome to know. Can you repeat that phone number for me, so that way when we get ready to wrap up the show, I can quote that phone number again from you?
Sure, 510 area code 479-4383.
4383.
Mm-hmm. And the organization is called Progressive Transition. They're a nonprofit organization that helps survivors create plans to leave, evacuation plans. We help them find shelter. We also go and support them in court proceedings. We do one-on-one case management. We do group sessions. There's recovery support groups. We do house calls. We have volunteers that are on the phone 24 hours a day. I'm one of the volunteers that mentor. So there is help. There is support out there. You just got to know, you know, where to turn and not be so afraid and feeling so alone and not feeling ashamed, because shame is something that puts a muzzle on you, and that muzzle will kill you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to research and see if there's anything like that here in North Carolina as well, and I'm sure that my co-host will check their state to see as well to, if there's anything that is available, because you came in on the latter part of the conversation. Like, I felt like my friend, I missed the sign that something was happening with my friend, and she didn't talk about anything. Yes, she wanted to have, you know, that laughing moment in the morning when we got, you know, to work. But I don't know what happened before work. So now I missed the signal that something was wrong.
Well, you know, technology, it has really enabled a lot of women with evacuation plans. I mean, even, you know, I personally know someone who was in a situation where she couldn't use a phone at home. She couldn't use a computer. She couldn't use anything except for what she had at work. And she had to create an evacuation plan via email with a counselor, communicating through chat messaging and email at work. So there's different avenues, different things that we can use, that you guys can use. I can open up some of the program service models here in California that you guys can use as models in North Carolina or wherever you are. We can help you guys research some things if that's what you guys want to do. But I'm going to give you the number to Urban Solutions, and that number is 510-435-6173. And Urban Solutions works with service providers, and they help them with their administration and doing volunteer recruitment, securing confidential lines, cleaning out, teaching people how to clean out their cookies, and just, you know, clearing their tracks, clearing their traces, and also being very clear with helping the women design an evacuation plan, because many, many times people go to leave these situations and they go back because they have no plan. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I didn't mean to put everybody on pause, but
it's been an emotional night for me, so you are absolutely okay.
It's all about healing. It's all about healing, because this topic affects all of us directly and indirectly. And, you know, it's not even gender specific. All survivors and victims are not women. I mean, there are men that are living battered, men that are living in abusive situations with narcissistic women. This is a topic that we need to talk about in our churches, in our classrooms, in the coffee shop, in line at the grocery store, because when we start exposing, it has nowhere left to hide.
That is true.
I remember
like a few weeks ago, this is the one time that I actually caught Dr. Phil, and they were talking about this guy that was, you know, he was in abusive relationships. It boggled me, because I'm like, wow, really? But, like, she really was abusive towards him. Like getting up in the morning, like she was he said that one morning he got up and he just got out of bed, and next thing he knows, like, she's throwing things at, like, she's throwing shoes and whatnot at him, and he's like, you know, it got to be too much. And he finally left her, because he admitted to himself, he was like, you know, I felt like I was going to kill her. I was so shocked, and I was like, wow, like, I knew it happened, but it was just like, it was a slap in the face. Like, this is it's a full-blown epidemic. Like, it's an epidemic.
It is, and it's a very dark epidemic. And, you know, light has to be shed on it, and in order for light to be shed, we have to continue and broaden the spectrum of conversations like these. And I'm really grateful to my coworker who I met today, and I had some personal time with her. And, in fact, she texted me a little while ago and was like, hey, I'm listening to this radio blog, and, you know, she shot me the number, so shout out to you. I won't mention your name, because I didn't ask you first, but she's listening in California. So,
I know exactly who you are talking about, and I just didn't hear this and say, I said thank you to her for having you call in. I know exactly who you're speaking of.
Yeah, because we need these kind of conversations. We need these type of conversations because we have teen dating violence. We have our younger generation, our young girls and young women that are growing up in a culture where it's accepted and it's expected, not just accepted, but expected to be called a bitch or to be talked about as a whore or to give your body and flaunt your body as promiscuity and allow someone to mishandle you sexually or to give your body sexually thinking that you're going to get love in return. And that's a form of abuse. There's so many different types of abuse that we have as a culture. And I'm talking about the black and brown culture. And that's where it's heaviest. But domestic violence, it's like a spider with many, many legs. It crosses all cultural barriers. And it affects all of us indirectly and directly because we teach our children subconsciously, without effort, that it's okay to cuss your for the child to see me cuss out, or the woman to see the child to see the woman cuss out the father, or the father to cuss out the mother, because they're not hitting, they're not physical, but this is how you communicate. Or even worse, the kids witness and see things flying across the room. Lord forbid a child get hit with something that flew across the room, because those things happen also. You know, and then you have teen dating where, you know, these young women are not knowing what is acceptable. They feel that, okay, this kind of behavior or this tone or this attitude is a little too controlling or a little too dominating, but he loves me and I'm going to go for it. And then they find themselves going into relationship after relationship, seeking that missing father piece in their life. Oh, girl, I can go deep into this, but I'm a bag up.
You are absolutely fine. You sound like me in the beginning of the show, because I was going in. I got mad. I was like, okay, this upsets me because it's just so much of it, and it makes it literally makes my blood boil when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand what it is and your passion, and I'm thankful that you are working and volunteering inside of this subject, because we need it, and we need people who are passionate and want to help. And so I thank you for even tuning in and hanging out with us on this Friday night.
And hey, this is where it's party at.
I know normally we're talking about other stuff. We talk about other stuff too, but tonight we just kind of said, you know, we need to have a serious conversation. Because for one, I'm sick of it. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I am on it, and I'm a 13-year-old daughter, so I have to lead by example. And I am thankful for my daughter. I will go to the moon and back for my daughter. Just like any other parent, I will go to jail because of my daughter. So, and teaching her that this is not right. No one should ever do this to you. And even just telling her right from wrong, like if we see a situation that's a bad situation, I ask her questions about it. Like, do you realize what that situation was? And she'll break it down for me. And I was like, okay, I'm raising you the right way. Because now you can put your own thoughts together to say, this is not right. This is not for me. And she knows how to treat people. So and even for little boys, because I don't, and my nephew, I get on him because sometimes he'll be like, that girl is this. I'm going to hit her. You better not. I'll hit you, little boy, because don't do that. You know, you're not supposed to hit little girl. You are a boy. You walk away. I don't care if you got to go tell somebody, whatever the case may be, you walk away from that little girl. And I don't care if they tell you that you are a tattletale. So what? If that little girl does something to you, you start to walk away. Because at any point, you're not right if you hit her back.
So. Well, you know, I throughout the year, later years, I have developed an issue with that saying, you know, you're a boy, you're not supposed to hit a girl, because nobody's supposed to hit anybody. But
right, you're not supposed to hit anybody.
Dating and began to have, you know, kids by females and stuff, and I'll never forget the first time I went to my son's apartment and I had seen him with limbs. Because I'm like, how dare you scratch up my baby? And all he did was try to walk away. And so with that, we have to teach our sons not to only just walk away, but don't go back. Because
right.
The thing is, they deserve to be respected. They don't deserve to – see, we teach our young men and our boys, don't hit them because they're girls, but we need to teach them don't go over and fool with that type of girl. Because,
right.
You know, you don't deserve somebody that's going to put their hands on you. You don't deserve somebody that's going to devalue or degrade you. You're from royalty. Just like we're supposed to be treated as queens, our black men should be treated as kings. And if these women or girls cannot respect them, then we're reproducing more of a generation that's not going to reciprocate the mutual respect, where we're going to keep this vicious cycle of no one respecting anyone, no one valuing anyone in the family. And we need to teach our young men and our boys how to draw boundaries and say, look, you know, if you're going to talk to me like this or you're going to treat me like this, and I'm talking about little kindergartners, these little boys are going to be men, and we need to teach them early on that you need to learn how to set boundaries with the opposite sex, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a 25, 30, 40-year-old man that's going to be getting abused. And Lord forbid that by the time he gets in his 30s, he didn't got so full of women mistreating him, now he's a batterer.
I agree.
You know, because they get fed. I get fed. Now, I'm not pro-male or pro-female. I'm just pro-people. And as a mother, I didn't like this until my son started dating. I have one that is like a ladies' man. He keeps me in my prayer closet. And then I have another one that's in school. And, you know, and I look at them and the different types of females they associate with and stuff, and I see where my teaching, you know, teaching what I was taught, you're a boy, you don't hit girls. And it's like, well, hey, wait a minute. These girls need to learn they need to not hit boys. And you need to learn that you can speak up for yourself, and you don't have to be around, even if she's the mother of your child. You do not have to subject yourself to abuse.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. And I remember even the night that me and my daughter's father broke up, it was a heated conversation. He's 6'3", I'm 5'1". And he's sitting down, and I'm standing there talking to him, and pushes me. I quickly got up out that chair, because he pushed me down into a chair. And so I got up, and I went outside. And he was like, get back in the house. No, I need you to leave. I need you to leave now. Come back in the house. No, I need you to get up, and I need you to leave because
if I come back in that house, it's not going to be pretty. I need you to get up and you need to leave because you're not going to do that. I don't care if it's a push, a shove, whatever, and you pushed me into a chair. No, mm-hmm. I need you to get up and leave because you're not going to do that.
Yeah. And
you can go on.
That's an interesting dynamic that you brought up about how he pushed you into the chair. Because, you know, you from this illustration, I see a young woman or a woman who is not searching for love so bad that she will accept getting pushed into a chair.
Mm-mm.
Because accepting that would have stripped you more than just being pushed into a chair. It would have stripped you to where this type of behavior may have even become the norm.
And it's not something that I grew up seeing. It's not something that I was used to. So for you to push me, like, oh, for you to push me, what else did you do? You're bigger than me. But you would push me into a chair. No, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. Because I have a brother. And I'm going to tell my brother that you just did. And my brother's not going to be happy. So I was like, no, I can't take this. I'm not going to deal with this. And that was, my daughter was one at the time. She's 13 now. We ain't been together in 12 years. I'm sorry. No, sir. I don't care how hard you try. No, thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's just about how, what are we out here looking for? Are we looking for love and just looking in the wrong and right places at the same time, but that wrong place has us, this hold on us for whatever reason, and love should never feel like that. And I don't think some people realize that.
No, I absolutely agree. I think that once you take a little bit, they feel like, you know, it's okay to keep doing it. Like that's the norm now. And I think that's where it starts. We need to love ourselves first and know the difference between love and abuse. Because there are people that think that I seen a post on Facebook of like 2 or 3 weeks ago. This woman was like, if my husband not, I know the, what is it? What did she say? I know the day
I
that
think
my
I know
husband
what you're talking about.
The day my husband stopped hitting on me is the day that I know that he don't love me.
Yeah, I saw that.
What?
I saw that post. I think I shared it on my page and I said this makes my blood boil.
I said, what? Because at first, when I first read it, and I told y'all I'm team crazy, so when I first read it, I thought that it meant something else. Like, I thought that was just, like, trying to, like, it was nasty, but it was awkward nasty. So I was like, wait, what? And then I had to reread it. I read it again, and I'm just like, no, I don't think that's what she meant. And I was like, wow. So you equate him punching you in the face with him loving you. No, that's not how that goes.
Well, we also have to remember that, you know, we're here in America. That we are. We're in America. Now, in America, there are certain things that just will not happen because of, you know, certain rights that we are given when we enter this country, well, this country. But outside of here, it's a whole totally different scope of things.
That's true.
You know, like, because I seen that post, and I think she said something about Nigerian men. And everywhere else outside of the world, it's a difference how men and women interact. In Japan, it's different. In Japan, it's different. In Haiti, it's different. In the Middle East, in certain, you know, like countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq, you know, even some countries in Europe, they treat their women differently than they do the men. You know, so when you see it, like we're here in America and we see it and we're like, oh, what the fuck's wrong with this broad? There's something wrong with her. But where she might be from, that might be the norm. You know, so everybody is looking at it like, oh, she's crazy. She's crazy. She shouldn't, her mind ain't right. But people are tending to forget that outside of America, they live a whole totally different life.
That's true.
Because in some countries, women come second. Especially in, like, countries like Kuwait and Iran, where, you know, women come second, you know, and that comes second even to the child that they give birth to. It's a male-dominated country. Now, granted, some things are changing, you know, due to American influence and outside influence, but, you know, that's been the gist of, you know, their religious, not just their religious, but their way of life. You know, and I speak on this because I was over there and I've seen it. You know, where I've seen where you cannot talk to that woman because she was not allowed to talk to you, regardless of who you were, because men have to talk to men. Women were not allowed to have conversations with men. Women were not allowed to dispute what their man had said at that point in time.
Hmm.
So like I said, you know, it varies on where you are and what you do in your life. Because most people in America would not be able to deal with what goes on outside of America. So many people come to America for the purpose of getting away from what they've already experienced in their country.
Gotcha.
True. That is a true statement. Well, we've had a good conversation tonight. I enjoyed myself.
We did.
I needed it. Thank you so much, Christina, for hanging out with us. Yeah, I know my computer is tripping. I told y'all that before.
Oh,
no, it must be the South Carolina. It must be the South Carolina weather, honey. I don't know what's got my computers on. But we only have about 5 minutes left in the show, and I know normally we do 2 hours, but I have to have an early morning tomorrow. And the twins' birthday is tomorrow, so you have an early day tomorrow. Y'all having a birthday party?
Yeah, we're having a little something for the guys. Just some food and, you know, let them run free and do what they do for a little bit. Little cupcakes and whatnot for them.
Okay. Well, make sure you give them kisses for me for their birthday. I thank everybody who... I see people called when you call in. You may not have hit one, but I see that you called in and you supported us. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us tonight on the Friday Nightcap. Next week, we're going to tackle this topic that somebody put on my page. Monday I talked to you, Taylor?
We ain't going to talk about that. We ain't going to do it.
We're going to talk about it because I want to know how people feel about this whole platonic friend thing, and we'll throw some other topics in there as well. We'll be a normal length of time next week. We'll be 2 hours. Also, let me share this information. I also will type it up and put it on the blog as well. The numbers that we're giving out today was for progressive transition. The number is 510
479-4383. That is for California. So if we have any listeners that are in the California area and you have someone who is dealing with domestic violence and needs a plan and a way to get out, there is someone always there to talk to you. This is 24-hour service, and there are volunteers there to talk to you through anything that you need. Also, you can always call the National Domestic Violence Hotline as well. That number is 800-799-SAFE-7233. Once again, 800-799-SAFE-7233. You can always have someone, there's always something in your local area. Call a friend, whoever. If you all don't know how to get to this, please find some type of way to get to the point of getting some type of help with your situation. Someone's always there. They always care. I am doing a charity this weekend, so I am in South Carolina. Everything starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow, so I have an early morning. And they already talking about they want to have breakfast. I really don't eat breakfast like that, and it's a Saturday morning, and they want me up at 6 a.m. So, yeah. And, so the charity that we're giving to tomorrow is Camp Chemo. So it's a camp for kids who are dealing with cancer, having to go through chemo, and they are needing some supplies. So we're going to have a few events tomorrow and Sunday to support them, to get them the money that they need for their supplies so these kids can have a good time at camp. Any last thoughts from anyone before we call it a night?
I got one. Fellas, this is a very serious issue. Very serious. I want y'all to understand the gravity of this, because domestic abuse and domestic violence is not just male on female. It's female on male. Please do not be embarrassed by it at all, because it happens. Sometimes we like to, you know, pretend like we're Superman and we're just going to be all right. Sometimes it's not going to be all right. Go out and get the help if needed. Get it. Plain and simple.
All right, fellas. So you also know where you have help as well. So I thank you all for joining us tonight on the Friday Nightcap and supporting this with us. We will see you next Friday, same time, same place. And, yes, Taylor, we are going to talk about this platonic friend stuff, because that lady's
already
had an opinion.
We're not talking about it. We're not talking about it. We're not doing it. Because I don't want to talk about it, because it's complete and utter bullshit. That's why. Her whole opinion was stupid as fuck. That's why. I don't want to talk about it.
We'll get more into that next week. We'll get into that next week.
Right. No, we don't have to. No.
We're going to, because you feel strongly about it. I want to hear what you got to say.
We're going to talk about it in detail.
Here we go.
We're going to talk about it in detail. Come next week. So join us, same time, same place. Be good to each other. We're going to talk to you, not about you, come Monday. Love you all. I appreciate you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.